Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the Wallmaster Podcast, episode 146 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Talking about some end of times event that Paul ran.
Wallmaster after the end times.
End time. What was the end times then? Or are we in the end times?
No, we've had that, you know, so now it's after the end times.
What was the end times then?
Well, the thing you don't allow me to mention.
The thing? The cheese cannon? The cheese missile?
No, the real life thing you don't allow me to
mention. Real life cheese missile. We can talk about the thing, but there's nothing to talk about, is it? It's never ending. It's like...
It's to you. It's over for me.
But that's the big problem. It's not. People think it's over, and then it's not over.
It is over, isn't it? Yeah, I can go to the pub. I can do a tournament. What's the problem?
You can go to the pub on your own. You can play in a club with fuck all people there.
Yeah, but you can.
You can go to a gaming club, take your own scenery, your own fucking mat, everything. You might as well play at home, mate. What am I doing?
Yeah, but it's a social thing, Barry, isn't it?
There's nobody there to be social with, mate. It's empty.
Well, I'm getting games. What are you talking about? No, we can't all sit behind our little, Isengard towers like you. Some of us have got to go out and work.
I've never argued, sir. I never begrudge you your enjoyment, your hero. What do we call them?
Hero class.
I'll talk a little bit about the fact we're going to do Napoleonics. And the old guard were allowed certain privileges, weren't they?
Yeah, they didn't have to fight.
Well, that's a pretty good privilege. They did fight occasionally.
No, he never wanted to dispel the illusion that they were unbeatable. Whenever I've sent in the old guard, this is Napoleon, then I've always won. It's because you only committed them when it was a foregone conclusion.
You only won.
Yeah, it's in like, I'm about to win now, I'll commit the old guard. See, you see the old guard always won. And it's like, he realised that as though they were all veterans, their best use was reputation, not actual fighting power.
Well, whenever you see pictures of them, they're all older than me.
Yeah, they had to be old. Like, yeah, they were...
I think
Napoleon was obviously quite a glamorous in terms of eccentric figure, and he just wanted to look after these old boys.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, so we'll just talk briefly. We'll talk about that while we've stumbled across it with you having your privileges.
Yep. Yep.
Part of the middle age guard now, almost, I guess, for you.
Whatever. Whatever makes floats your boat.
So, me and Paul are going to play Napoleonics in 10 mil using black powder, which is a version of Warmaster, I guess.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's by Rick Priestley. It uses...
And Jervis. Don't forget Jervis. He was there.
Yeah, what does he do? It uses the command system of Warmaster in a sense that's how you move your brigades, your infantry units, your stuff around. And then it's got a relatively simple combat system as well, coupled into that. So your units don't, a bit like Kings of War, I think, where your formation doesn't take casualties. In terms of, you don't remove models.
Yeah.
You can change formation, because obviously the infantry can go from classically line to column to square, but you don't remove models. They take damage in the form of markers, and then they either all go or all stay. So...
Okay, you get that disordered and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. And basically, I read the quick starter rules. What that all results in essentially is you check to see if the unit is still in the game or not. And the more it's banged up, the more likely it is to go. But if you roll well, it never goes.
Which I guess is a heroic last stand kind of stuff, isn't it?
Well, kind of. It represents the ineffectiveness, actually, of Napoleonic weapons, in the sense that most people weren't, like Borodino, for example, is rated as the bloodiest day in a battle, I think, ever. And yet still, you're not talking half, you're talking, I think it was like 20,000 casualties, like dead, both sides. It's of an army that were a quarter of a million or half a million men in the field. You know, I've been reading these source books. They're well done. And it's like, okay, so how did Napoleonics even come about? Like the style of warfare. And what the game system represents is like, so your battalion, which is the smallest unit in the game, is a battalion. And it is like, what, depending on the nationality, but, you know, say it's 500 men. Well, they represent 500 men until they don't represent anything.
Yeah, well, that's realistic, isn't it? They're running.
Yeah, I mean, because I think, as we said before on the podcast, the issue with Napoleonic game systems, aside from this one, is you can't finish them. You can't play them. Yeah, because they take too long.
Well, it depends what you're playing, what the objectives are. If the objective is just like take an objective, and that's the objective, you can maybe do that. But fighting to the last man ain't going to happen, is it? That's
ridiculous. Yeah.
Because the guns are so ineffective unless you're stood next to each other.
Virtually. Yeah, literally. Yeah, I mean, the effective range of a musket is what, 50 to 100 yards. That's the majority of what everybody's got. It should be quite cool, but as a rule set, it's very not open to interpretation, but it only has narrative scenarios. It doesn't have actually like match play scenarios, but it does have rule. It does have points, obviously. So you can then play the same points, but you're going to have to put some scenario into it to make it interesting it's far easier to defend than attack.
It's historical, so you wouldn't have even forces. It just wouldn't happen.
No, it never does. Never happen in life. You know,
one of them's going to be aggressor, one's going to be defending, one's going to have some kind of river to defend.
Yeah, or it's like, it's their country, so they're defending it or whatever. You know, but it's, yeah, it looks pretty cool. I mean, it's a shame that the group of guys who want to play it down the club have fixed. I mean, this is the classic of this is your issue over wargaming, is that most people can only think in 28 mil scale. Like that's what GW makes. So that's like, as in, and I did suggest like, well, hang on, let's not play this at 28 mil. Let's play it at a small scale. And it just didn't get any traction. So
I mean, who in their right mind wants to paint that many 28 mil miniatures? It's just like, no, it's crazy, man.
It is a lot. No, but you can.
Once you get to 28 mil, you've got to do like buttons and things. You've got to do like cuffs properly, and it's like trims of jackets and stuff. It's like, no, life's too short for this, man.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, you can
contrast paint.
You know, the fact that we've picked up a starter, like a one brigade each army for the price we picked it up from. Yeah, well, you can explain about that, Barry.
I'll do that on the next video. I'll talk about that, and we'll in fact, it'll be the video after. Because I need to apologise first, because this is episode 146. We've been waiting to do a different episode 146, but the candy kept getting kicked down the road for one reason or another. So now we're doing an episode before the one, which is going to be the cafe one, which is probably going to be recorded in like 2 days' time.
Yeah.
Buses, you wait forever. And then they're all full because of COVID, because they can only fit 6 people on them. Have you seen those ghost buses with nobody on them?
People can't get them from the hospital.
I'm sure they can't.
Staff can't. Yeah, they can't get on the bus. Yeah, it's a problem.
There are lots of problems in the world. Right, so the main topic today is going to be Paul's After the End Times. Physical event, which is, I was going to say it's the only one I've seen, but it's not, because there was one in the Czech Republic.
I think there was, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, an outdoor event.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, forget any of that. Yeah, like it was, done indoors.
It was indoors with no windows, no aircon, nice and sweaty, like wargamers love it.
Just right. Like,
right. Sweaty, no windows, no aircon.
Yeah.
All day. Lovely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Right, so do you want to tell them what you've been doing? We'll leave that for later, but tell them what you've been doing in your painting world or whatever.
I'm getting close to. I've come up with a thing. You know, I said that I would do. I'd had two projects on the go: one an evening, one a day thing when I can do it, and an evening one you know, when I can do more attention. Well, the up on the shelf up there, the Teutonic Knights are almost finished. So they're over half done. So I'm just been concentrating solely on that to get them finished. And I tonight I'll finish off, if I haven't, you know, I've already done some painting of the some more cavalry, and that will leave me with three units of Crusader Knights left to do. And that's them. So I've been painting them, which is cool. I've got no...
So have you got many infantry, or is it just cavalry heavy?
I'd say it's a decent amount of infantry, but like literally, I painted up a unit of... So the army list can use native, like basically auxiliary troops, like native, it says native troops, like local infantry, or like, or, you know... Yeah,
local to where?
Well, wherever the army is, I guess. Right. And so while, but they're only literally, they're only 20 points a unit. So they're cheaper than goblins. You know, like, and they are terrible, like, you know, rule, you know, stats. So I spent ages painting up a unit of Araby guards, I think they are, you know, from Warmaster, to be a unit of, like, for the flavor, because it's obviously the army is historical. I've painted in its crusading things, and this, I don't know, this represents some local Muslims or whatever who, like, are you know, fighting with them. God knows, you know, but I spent ages painting them, but I realized they are worthless, like, as in they're so cheap in points. It's like, oh my god,
you know? Do they count to break then, these 20?
Yeah, they do, yeah, they're part, oh, yeah, yeah,
they sound awful, man, they sound awful. I hate so stuff that's cheap that counts to break. It's like, oh,
well, it's there's nothing that doesn't. It's it's ancient, it's Warmaster Medieval. But yeah, they're pretty cool, they're lovely models. That Araby, I mean, I've only done one unit of these Araby, but they are lovely models. Like, a whole range of them would be awesome, you know, like on the
table.
They
did do a range, didn't they?
Yeah, they have. So say that it says GW's one. Yeah, I don't know the name of the sculptor, but the range would be pretty sweet.
I've got an army that's painted and not based, and it's never taken the table.
Yeah, well, you should do something about that. Yeah,
on my list.
Yeah, but yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's almost done. And then I think once I have got it finished painting, I haven't got the date yet with Jim when we're playing. And then I might roll, because I'm in that method of painting those guys, I might then do all the fantasy Bretonian stuff, like the Pegasus Knights as well, because it's a small project then. Yeah, okay. And like to basically have the whole lot done. And also Jim's sent me his own write-up rules of Warmaster Game of Thrones, Warmaster Westeros, which I'm going to do a Lannister force for that.
Okay, good for Jim.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's, again, it's a blend of somebody else's idea from about 10 years ago, blended with his own ideas, and it's based on Warmaster Medieval, but it's very character heavy. So you have named characters, and they have quite good effects on the game, because if you don't have the named characters, you essentially are playing Warmaster Medieval. You know, it's Game of Thrones. It's like, it's all about these characters. Yeah, which is cool. Yeah, so I'll do a Tywin Lannister, you know, Lannister force.
So did you play a game this week or last week then?
So sadly, so going on to the event, it was 10 players plus me.
No, I mean like a bit on the Bunker Wednesday nights rather than your event.
Oh yeah. I played Nick at Warmaster. He used Tomb Kings and I used a Chaos list, which I would have been, if I was playing in the event, it would be the list I would use. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. But we played, you know, in a proper, you know, down the club, just like old times, like 6x4, no dramas.
Mm-hmm. He won and you lost your general, so it's just like normal times. Everything was normal. Paul lost his general.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, like,
how did you lose your general then?
This time, so I built a list that had put the general on a dragon. And I had a unit of buffed Chaos Knights, and I put them together, and they rolled badly, and then got countered.
You are fighting Tomb Kings, so I'm not exactly sure what it was that killed you. Maybe some chariots in the front raised their back.
Yeah, like the classic stuff. Yeah, you know, like, but it was, we played a meeting engagement, and it was good. It was cool to play a physical game again. Yeah, you know, and also to just refresh my mind on Warmaster itself, etc., because I was about to be a TO. But yeah, it was good. It didn't, you know, I don't know what would have happened if my general hadn't died. And obviously I changed my list because actually there's no reason to put the general on there. Well, I can just put a hero on there. And I was like, oh yeah, that's why. Yeah. Cause this is the problem. You know, like, but it was, yeah.
I mean, you sound like someone who's just playing this first game instead of has been playing for like a billion years.
I know. But I was like,
and you're still putting generals on fighty mounts and sticks.
It's just, I looked at the model and I was like, he's so more impressive than the hero model. There's no way he's the hero, is he? He's clearly the general. Like, you know, and I was just like, but yeah. Anyway, it didn't matter because there was an even amount of players, so I didn't actually play in the tournament.
So I'll just fill in that, because I have actually been gaining a tiny small amount. I've done...
You left your house, have you?
Well, not to game, no. I played Fumble against Phil, OG.
Hey, did you hate it?
It was absolutely shit.
Yeah.
the Fumble client... It's so old now that on a HD screen, it takes up about an eighth of the screen, or it appears to be. It's like
right. So
small, you can barely see it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like on your screen?
I mean, yeah, when I was playing it, you know, it was on the old laptop and it was looked okay then. But I mean, it was the misclicking that bugged the hell out of me.
So I think he started the second half with only about five players, and by the time I'd gone 2-0 up, he had like three players to set up.
Right.
It was as one-sided a game as you could possibly have. I think I'd killed or injured seven or eight of his players and won 2-0. And it was like, what is the point in this game? It's not even a game, is it? When you're winning, and it's not a game when you're losing. There were so many, I just remembered there were so many games that weren't really a game at all.
Yeah.
Because they were just so lopsided. And if you enjoy that kind of thing, then cool. But I couldn't fight with a client. And then he told me that people don't enforce the 2-minute rule. And it's like, well, I ain't doing this. Forget about it.
Yeah, man.
Because I thought that was hard-coded into Fumble, that it made you enforce the 2-minute rule.
No, what it does is when your 2-minute is up, it gives you the option of finishing the opponent's turn.
Oh, nice. Okay. Finished.
Yeah.
And then I played two games of War Master on that TTS, that tabletop simulator.
Tabletop simulator. Mm-hmm.
Which obviously isn't playing in real life and obviously isn't as good as playing in real life. But in some very small respects, it does have some advantages. Not least which, if you live somewhere where there are no opponents, you can actually find an opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a big thing. If you're like somebody that lives in Australia, a guy I've been talking to, or you live in America and your playgroup is small.
Yeah, yeah.
And how many people are you really going to have in your playgroup that play War Master, really?
Yeah. Never
been able to ever get a game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also, it helps if you're not leaving your house.
Yeah, that's true. The mole people, if the mole people cup is coming.
Yeah.
Mole person cup. Because it might be men or women or moles.
Well, you don't know, do you? That's the point of on, you know, like computer gaming like that.
Yeah. I mean, I might be playing fully clothed, might be playing completely Starkers. No,
you might be. Yeah, like, and you'd be a fool not to, would you, Barry? Yeah.
So anyway, I played a fella called Yalk. Mm-hmm. Actually, Clayton, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And I only had one army list built, so I played with my tournament Lizardmen, which was a bit mean, really. He was saying that he hadn't played very many games,
mm-hmm.
and I can't even remember what he played against now. But I just remember that we had some issues because this is a good one actually. From a new player's point of view, he thought that if his character started joined to a unit, that when he ordered that unit, the character moved with the unit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he was like, a hero orders this brigade of. Oh, he's playing Tomb Kings. This brigade of chariots. And then the chariots move 30 and the hero moves with him.
No.
Next order's on a 7 and then the order of...
Nope.
He's always taking the hero with him. It's like, no, that would be good, wouldn't it?
It would be good, yeah. That's not the rules.
Like, So unfortunately, what happened in that game is like the chariots, of which he had six units, did literally nothing. They didn't even shoot a bow in the whole game because he couldn't make any orders. He had them all on one flank. He had them all on his right flank, six units. And I just refused that flank with my lizard men and moved everything onto the left flank and just ate the left flank.
Did you even let him get a half-base move when he failed an order?
I can't remember what we were playing.
You probably didn't, did you? Yeah, because you're that kind of guy. So you basically, you took a new player.
I'll count to you in a minute.
So you took a new player this game system. You played him online.
He wanted to play.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you didn't come knocking on his door, but yeah, like you allowed. Okay, you noticed him. You know, like, and then you said, right, I think to teach this noob a lesson, I'll take the, like, horriblest shit I can.
The only list I had built.
Conveniently is the worst, like, one of the most negative playlists going. Yeah, like, and then you're like, oh, okay. And then you, like, then you looked at the guy and was like, well, his setup's bad. And I tell you what, I'll really penalise him for that, you know, by ignoring his bad, you know, taking full advantage of it. So did you get this guy to, you know, you going to ever play this guy again? Or
For sure. He's signed up for the event, hasn't he?
Signed up for the event.
Of course he has, yeah.
All right, must be a masochist.
and to show that I'm a man of my word, I played Phil yesterday with Orcs and Goblins. He was playing Demons.
Yeah.
Took a brigade with two trolls in it. Mm-hmm. And I had no free half-pace move. And obviously Leadership 8 was the best I got, which is Leadership 7 with the trolls.
Yeah.
And the trolls got one order off in the entire game.
Yeah.
But they still got into combat because that one order at least got them near enough to the front that when
20 centimetres up.
When Phil got stuck into me, they could finally, after he'd killed a few, get in on initiative.
Right. Okay.
One cool thing was, yesterday we played, me and Phil, and we played using a Discord server, a game server. So I was broadcasting my screen and we were talking.
Yeah.
Well, at one point there were like four or five people listening. It was only talking shit as your usual. and leaving your mic open so we could hear the TV when we're driving.
Yeah, totally.
Just being like the ultimate troll.
Yeah. Well, I came out of work and I don't know, like Discord like pinged away in its unique ping. And I was like, hello. And then I accidentally joined that like thing. And I was like, what's this? And I was like, oh, look. Yeah, like, and then I was...
they're playing.
I'm playing,
they're playing, so let's go and annoy them while they're...
Yeah, exactly. While I drive home. It's great.
Fantastic. So that was all right. And then we had a really good game. And it did take 3 hours. I can't lie. It does take a little bit longer.
Mm. You're not selling it, Barry.
On the flip side, what I've decided is, like, just don't fuck about with deployment. Just deployment. I look at my side of the pitch. You look at your side of the pitch. Put your shit down. When you're done, you say you're done and that's it. It's like hidden deployment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did. So that takes away any time fannying around with deployment. It's just done. And then you move on
to the
game.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
And there are other... We'll talk about that in an episode, a couple of episodes on. But there is a cup running starting on the 1st of August.
Not really. Mm. So what are you going to do about the time difference issues?
There's nothing I can do. If you get a draw, so like Barry plays some fella in Australia.
Yeah.
We got 2 weeks to play the match. If we can't arrange a time, one of us forfeits or it's a draw. I can't enforce the rules. I can't make you play.
No, God no.
So it's what happens in a kind of squash ladder, isn't it? It's like every week or every 2 weeks you get a game. You either play your game or it's a draw. At the end of the day, it's just a bit of fun to try and get people playing, especially people who haven't played. Because I don't know if you've noticed, we've got a lot of new people in at the moment.
Mm. Well, in the community, online community.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think that's because people are finally realizing that Age of Sigmar really is a load of shit. And they can wait as long as they want for Ninth Age, but it might be a long time coming.
If you're talking about GW doing Warhammer again, it's going to be a while. You know, like, it'd be a longer while now.
And I wouldn't trust them to treat it gently. I wouldn't trust them to flying dwarves or fucking...
Yeah.
...or any of that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how are you going to compete with Space Marines, mate? Look at me. I'm a rat. I'm a rat carrying a bloody a can of beans or whatever.
A can of beans.
There's a bloody guy with a space marine with a heavy bolter coming at me.
It's like, I got a slingshot. What I got?
This dwarf here with a salt cannon on a metal balloon with an assault.
Yeah. It's like, it's going to hurt.
my night goblin's got a little bow, a little.
Yeah. As you said before, I don't know why they still push old fantasy models in that system. It just doesn't. It's just no. Like, why? Why do they do that?
It's just that's it. Right. Anyway, so enough flim flam. We're going to get the main topic. 146 End Times event. You had an event with 10 players, Paul.
Yeah. So obviously, 8 would have been fine. Yeah, because 8 is a 3-round event. 4 would have been all right, because that's 3 games. But we got 10 on the day.
10? That's a lot, fella. That's a lot for a physical event.
No, I'm happy with that. It's like, I don't really want it to be more, to be honest. I was like, 10's all right. Yeah, I recognised all the faces, I think. I chatted with Andy beforehand. He opened up the venue 2 hours before. So that was only a £20 bill for that to happen. So we got it. We got in. You know, like everyone was on time and kicked off.
What did you do about food and stuff? Says the man.
So they did have like snacks, but they weren't doing their like cooking up anything. So basically, after the first round, I just said to everyone, like as they finished their tables, I was like, "Go get something to eat and come back when you're done or whatever." Mm. You know, like once I've got the last round in, I would do the draw and you can start playing your second round straight away. I was just like, I'm not going to give them timings. Can I have a beer, please, Ad?
Come on, serving wench. He needs a beer here.
It's hard to hear you, Barry's talking. Yeah. All right. So as you said, like, you can play your first game and then the draw's up straight away. So you can play your second whenever you like. You know, like the place will kick us out at 6.
So tell us some faces, because I haven't seen who was there, because it was a bit...
I can tell you every face.
Okay. Well, I know that Janice was there, Obbs.
Obbs.
And Nick was there.
Mm-hmm.
And who else do I know was there?
Either. Yeah.
Steve was there. Steve.
Okay, so you had Steve playing Vampire Counts.
Oh, yeah.
Chris was playing Nippon, the new Nippon list. Janice was playing Skaven. Nick was playing Tomb Kings. George from the club, was playing
Gorgeous George, yeah.
Yep. Tony was playing
Holy moly.
That's what he wants. He always plays dwarves.
He does.
Yeah, Tony played ogres. Paul, the man who would be King Godbold, played orcs. And then a Darren Ware played witch hunters. Shane played dark elves. And Nav played chaos. So no repeats. No, same.
Shane Rodders.
Hmm? Rodders. No, Shane. Different Shane. Mm-hmm. And there we go. That was the 10 players.
It's good to see ogres, and it's good to see what's his face. Got his name already. We just said it. Paul, who played high elves last year, he's playing orcs and goblins now. They're good for him. It's gone from the sublime to the ridiculous, isn't it? Gone from leadership 10 to leadership 8.
Yeah, I think he has a point to prove, doesn't he, really? Yeah, like...
It might take a while to prove that point, but we all talk about it. He was in the...
It was a Winter Roller 2020 tournament pack. So I had the 5 scenarios. And the first one rolled up was Taken Hold. Games were played. I'm going to talk about who came third, second, and first. And
what was Taken Hold then? Tell us what Taken Hold is. Have you not?
So it's 1, 2, 3, 4 objectives. One closest to. So I'd revised the scenarios a little since they were last used. So I adjusted the points, scale of points for Taken Hold, where you don't score anything for holding your objective.
Yeah.
1 point for the middle 2 each, and then 3 points for getting the far one. Cap to 10 to win.
Only on your turn.
But you can score. You can score on the first turn if you are in such a position to do so. It was cool. Everyone, no complaints about that scenario. Everyone liked it. Most games finished by an army breaking. which then shunted up the scores, obviously. Yeah, you know, there was no situation where somebody broke the opponent and lost.
Yeah. Question, sir. I think in previous iterations, it's been on the second player's...
Yes, yeah, yeah. So because I'd reduced the amount of points that you can score on the objectives, I didn't have that as a rule. That was you could score on your first turn.
So if I was a MC Cheesy High Elf man, I could potentially score quite a lot of points on my first turn if I got.
You could potentially score two.
Only two? Because when does it score?
At the end of the turn. It's extremely unlikely that you're going to get.
Far. 90 centimeters. Not. It's quite a long way for three.
Yeah, but you can contest them, but just by having a unit close by. So you'd have to be dumb to put the objective you've got to defend away from your own setup.
But say you did.
If you did, then you deserve. I mean, basically, with these stories that I'll come out with, is this like, you know, as in the overriding theme of this is it's better to be lucky than good. Is like, then things could have been done. Like, it isn't just like the person on the losing side could have done something about that, you know, and like, yeah, you know, so it wasn't all total luck. But essentially,
in fact, Janice needs a t-shirt, it's better to be lucky.
Yeah, exactly. That should be.
He's awesome. Both, and he's when both. He's good, when he's got both on his side, he's unstoppable, fella.
Yeah,
lucky and good.
Yeah. So that was played.
So do you know the results, or we don't talk about such things?
Well, I do have the results, but I think it's more interesting for people just to go through third, second, first, isn't it?
Well, we're going right to the end of the game already.
Well, I'll talk about the scenarios, but rather than go through each individual result of the game, it's like it just gets lost in stats, doesn't it? Yeah, it was like essentially. Because I say the stories about I want to talk about. Yeah. So the second round rolled up was after lunch was Traitors. So the new one I'd written up, which is where the blunder rule is dropped in term of a unit exchanging like sides if you blunder it. You know, and the general can do activate this as well. So really, I say like the blunder and the general, you know, like, you know, any character can cause this traitor. That was cool because this is the first time that this scenario has been like put to the testing block, and I was really happy with it because it happened in every game. So there's five games going on at once, and it happened couple of times in some games, four times in one game, you know, it happened, and it was interesting the feedback from the players about that. Now, obviously, when there's negative feedback, you do need to context with it. What you're giving me negative feedback, but did you win this scenario or did you lose this scenario? If you're giving me negative feedback and you lost the scenario, but you lost because of it, then it's a bit more. You know, doesn't mean has as much weighting to me that if
in the government we can cut this out. It's all right.
No, it's fine.
Edit afterwards, so
it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, but it has a lot.
Just get your drink.
Yeah. I showed it to you. It has less weighting to me if you lost. If you are moaning about it and you lost because you lost, didn't you? You're going to be sour. But it did result, like the feedback will result in a change of it in that I think I'll allow a half pace move on that order if it's the first one of that brigade. You know, so is in terms of, okay, so you've rolled a blunder, you've ordered these four units, rolled a blunder, one of them randomly is turned traitor and minimum moves away to get 1 centimeter. But you're allowed a half pace move if that was the brigade's first order, which you could say will mitigate some of it, you know, like in terms of, you still lost a unit and it recalibrates both breaks. So in some sense, it's like if you've built an army list which has an odd number of units, gaining a unit doesn't increase your break point and actually probably means that you lose a break point overall because you've now got a unit that's now yours that's in the opponent's army. Like surrounded,
I'm gonna die.
Yeah, exactly. But you could build an army list that has an even number of units in it. So if it gets one of these, it does add to break because then it pushes your break up. So it's only losing what it gave you. Anyway, yeah, but I think that's how I'll change that scenario with an amendment to that. So if you're willing to order a brigade twice, you know, on your head is in, it's a risk that you have to, it's just part of it in this scenario. It's like you might lose a unit and have no feet, you know, if it's your general doing it, especially if there's going to be no comeback, it's like you've, you know, that's now turned traitor and could be in a bad position for you. Yeah.
So, if you make your change, because I haven't played this scenario, I just what do they call it? Theory hammering. Mm-hmm. If you allow me to do a half pace move,
yeah.
But say this brigade is towards the front of my army.
Yeah.
And I lose. Is it a random personal?
Yeah, it's random. So say it's a unit in the brigade.
So they're all in column. I lose one. But if they then I'm allowed a half pace move, I can just move the rest of the stuff backwards, so he can't see anybody.
Yeah,
very unlikely to be able to be ordered because he's going to be far away from his heroes.
Or some armies don't have the ability to order that far.
Yeah, and he's going to be in the middle of my stuff, so he's got a negative for that.
Yeah,
and so at best he might get half pace move and turn round or something.
Yeah. I think that's quite interesting, and it's still significant enough to be interesting.
But I think the way you've got it is at the moment is much more disruptive. I mean, it would totally piss me off if I lost, Rhinox Riders or something.
Well,
irreplaceable.
Prepare to stand by to stories in a moment.
Totally irreplaceable in an army list. Yeah. Can't afford to lose Rhinox Riders in an ogre list. It's not possible.
Well, okay. Well, to come on to that. And then the last scenario rolled up was meeting engagement, my favourite. Yeah, and which, you know, spread out. I set up the tables to be fairly uniform in scenery amount. I have terrain to do 5 tables, so that was appropriate as well. Oh, hang on. Yes. Okay. Hands going to bed. You're like, and I was, and overall, I was pretty pleased with it. I was like, you know what? You know, this is an event I'd want to play in. And that's all I can ultimately try to do is to try to run a style of an event that I as a player would want to play in, you know, and I'm willing to make changes, I'm willing to listen to criticism and feedback, you know, and then decide what I'm going to do with that.
Right. Yeah, it's cool. So where do you want to go next?
So I'll talk through third, second and first army lists.
Do you want me to share them?
Yeah, by all means, because I'm gonna look down at them and read them out. Yeah, let's share them.
Okay.
In third was Tony with Ogre Kingdoms. So he'd won twice and had the second highest, you know, as in of the those who won twice, scenario points. That was another thing. I can't call them victory points because victory points is the same keyword to another thing. So I'm gonna have to change them to be called scenario points or something, objective points. Yeah. Anyway, and that put him third.
We want to critique this list? Or?
Yeah, totally. So it's, I mean, all of these three lists are not, I'd say, not your normal, you know, I would say. So this Ogre Kingdoms list has got 6 bull ogres in it. It's got 4 iron guts, 1 with a sword of cleaving, 2 yetis, 1 slave giant, 1 tyrant, 1 bruiser who's mounted on a rhinox with a sword of might, and a butcher with a scroll of dispelling, and it only gives you a breakpoint of only 7. I mean, straight away, I'd be like, there's no nobblers. If I'm going to try to be competitive with ogres, it's got no nobblers, and it's got a slave giant in it.
And what has it not got, Paul?
What has it not got?
It's got no cavalry, mate.
It's got no cavalry, yeah.
It's all infantry, holy moly.
Yeah, I mean, Tony also won Best Painted because he paints very well. And this, honestly, you'd like to have seen this because it's your models, Barry. It's a Blackgate miniature models, and they do look fantastic. It's like they were clearly like I did the painting just my decision. I wasn't going to ask anybody else's opinion, but like it was just like
I'll approach him and I'll make sure we put up a picture of this list because
I mean it'd be a good
third out of 10 is not a mean feat.
He won 2 out of 3. Yeah. And he won those 2 well, you know, to get third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is the heavy chaos, isn't it? Effectively, you just like massive infantry heavy hitting.
It's not an army list I would come up with for ogres, to be honest, because, you know, well, you're not a fan of yetis. There's no cavalry. There's no nobblers to increase your break.
It's not, I'm not a fan of any of these things. It's, I am a fan of cavalry.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a couple of units to try and keep off the other cavalry that come. But maybe it's a fool's errand trying to get cavalry in. They're so expensive.
I mean, I wouldn't have said that a slave giant is worth, as in, is something you would include when the points are so tight in an ogre army. But it worked for him. The character setup, that's fine. There's no problems there. Good character setup.
He had to bring a third character to manage the giant.
Yeah, basically. I mean, like, he's only got, so he's, with his only 13 units, he could probably run the army with two characters. But he's gone for three. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I try and do it on two, just to try and get more stuff. But yeah, well, first play to him. Well done, Tony.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to second place?
In second place is the man who would be king, Paul Gobbold, with this orc army list, and which
they're obviously playing well against each other, I guess.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, exactly. So yeah,
it's like, they do their own podcast.
Fantasy. Yes. So he ran four orc warriors, five goblins, four boar riders, eight wolf riders.
Eight
units of wolf riders.
So are you saying that you're using the optional rule here? Because I'm telling you, I used them last night without the optional rule and they were rubbish.
Well, yes, he is. Yeah. then one orc general, three orc heroes, two orc women, then there's a sword of fate, a sword of cleaving, sword of might. I'm guessing he puts the better swords on the Wyvern characters.
Yeah.
Then two orc shaman, one with a scroll of dispelling, and two goblin shaman.
Wow, so, this is a minimalist army, this one.
And that's a breakpoint of 11 on an Orc and Goblin list. Now, what it plays off is the light cavalry rule for Wolf Riders. They're range 15, so that means that they can evade in any direction and they can't be chased by basically slower stuff. You know, like they can't be chased by normal cavalry if they're attacked to the front. But they can be chased if it's in the flank, and they can be chased by other light cavalry.
And they can still be beaten to pieces by a charge in the front.
Yeah, they normally are, aren't they? I mean, like, so.
I mean, there might be a stand left, but they ain't putting up much of a fight.
But that stand gets away, the important, and holds the break, you know, and then can use its initiative to go in any direction. And that's what it does, basically. So it plays well for Orcs and Goblins because those eight unit of Wolf Riders then don't need ordering anymore. They just do it on initiative.
Right.
Yeah. We're exploiting
an optional rule here. So for people who don't use the optional rules, if you're one of those people, you're playing just the as written War Master, because this is in the army list book. This isn't even in the rule book.
It's in War Master Armies.
I mean, to bring eight Wolf Riders in an Orc and Goblin arm be absolute suicide without this rule.
Probably wouldn't do very well.
Because they are rubbish.
Yeah. I don't even say they're terrible, but I mean,
you take two units at most.
It's a skew build, and he's skewing heavily to that. You know, like he still manages to have four Boar Riders. I mean, when another orc list might have six units of him, and he's got these two Wyvern characters in there. He's got a very good character selection of eight characters. You know,
only but your normal orc army is built on like Hitty troops and the Boar Boys, isn't it? And this is not.
It's got
some Boar Boys, but it's got. How does he build his brigades? He's got an.
Boar Riders are all together. Two brigades of four Wolf Riders running around. The infantry, I think he tend from what I as in Tanner set up, he puts a couple of unit of goblins just on the baseline, just there to be avoid, like there to be ignored, hopefully. And he also has some goblins like around, like in a more forward position. But I think the orcs might even just run together, and that's it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So just five goblins hiding and four orkies.
Some goblins somewhere. But
not much infantry at all. To be honest, if you ignore the Wolf Riders, whose job really isn't fighting.
No.
Not really a lot of fighting here, is there?
I guess he would put its boar riders with a wyvern. Yeah, like there's his fighting.
Yeah, for sure. And the orc warriors with a wyvern. But yeah, the goblins and the wolf riders aren't really for fighting, but it obviously worked.
Yeah, I mean, if they get to somebody's flank, you know, then, I mean, there'll be enough of them running around, but if they get into someone's flank, they might be able to do something. If he gets to someone's flank and he puts a wyvern in there, then a wolf riders could do some work. Yeah.
He could get on an initiative, couldn't he? So yeah, go to the final one then.
Yeah, so the final, obviously the final was Paul Godbold versus Janas, and Janas won Warmaster after the end times with Skaven.
Which is fitting, as they heralded the end times.
I literally ate my mask. I was just like, how is he doing this? And I have a story on how is he doing this.
Let's have a little look at this list. This list is weird again.
I mean, what the actual fuck, basically. Like, so, 4 units of clan rats, 4, right? 4 Giselles, okay. You can't take more, so Bodhi's gone for 4. 4 units of plague monks, again, you can't take more. 8 unit of rat swarms.
I mean, that's freaky, isn't it? 8 rats. Yeah.
4 rat ogres, 2 doom wheels, a grey seer with an orb of majesty, 2 heroes, and 2 warlocks, 1 with the scroll of dispelling, and 1 with the wand of power. So across all 3 army lists, you see that there's a scroll of dispelling. Every army list has a scroll of dispelling.
Well, that's mandatory unless you're Paul.
Yeah. So maybe that is mandatory. This Skaven build is so weird. Like,
is it moved like a bin lid, or is it? He hasn't even got the
screaming bell. He hasn't got the screaming bell. Yeah, and it's like, which I thought was, you had to, like, really would have to take. So it's moving around with a command 9 general and command 8 heroes rather than basically all command 9, to give the orders. I looked at his setup and it was like he'd use the rat swarms behind, like the rat ogres, for example. So we'd have 4 rat ogre units in a line with 4 rat swarms behind them.
They can't
be supported.
Right.
They can support.
So these could be the cheapest unit in the game to support with.
Because 25 points each, yeah.
So nothing's cheaper than that. They're cheaper than goblins, mate. But they can... So there we go. Okay, so we could put them behind the plague monks, put them behind the ogres.
Yeah, no, but I saw that he would set the plague monks all together.
Right.
He would... Probably the rat ogres behind rat swarms. It had the Giselle bait, but I just didn't see how can it attack. Unless he rolls really well all the time, he's going to struggle with orders of getting it forward because he needs multiple orders a turn just to engage. But he seems to be getting results with the Giselles, because I was like, well, the Giselles aren't going to do enough, are they, in shooting to do real damage? But they seem to be. Like, because they don't have, they're not normally missile troops to do effect, need artillery as well around. Here he is proving me wrong. He's fucking winning the thing.
I did tell you to write his name on the certificate before the event.
I haven't talked about the third and second, like, clearly who they played, but I will talk about Janna's rounds and a little highlight story from each one. So in the first round, Janna's got in Takenhold, Janna's got against Nick's Tomb Kings.
Nice.
And Nick had taken a big, like, Tomb King list. Early on, Nick managed to back his general into a unit of Giselles that he charged with chariots backed up by a dragon. Right, so his general was caught in a unit that he can attack, like that he can go after.
Whose general? Nick's general.
Janna's general.
Janna's general is a Giselles.
Yeah, well, that's how the story goes. Like, his unit, his general was in a position, was actually in a unit that was having to fight. He caught him. The combat was result So this is obviously there's a lot of support and everything. But the combat ends as a score 18-18 as a combat resolution. So it's a draw, and Janus's general gets away. So Skaven, who really suffer from being terrified because they have no way of ignoring it because he hasn't taken the Screaming Bell. Not that that gives much immunity to terror, but that's the only thing that does. Janus has been literally, sucker punched and pulled it off and got away with it after being attacked by, chariots with a terror causing character.
Nice.
Now, I might have oversimplified the situation a bit, I suppose, but that's the point of a podcast and misremembering. So anyway, Janus pulls off the win against Nick. With that as the highlight. We skip forward to round two. So Janus, so this is Traitors.
Traitors, what are you stop sharing is this?
Now, you remember what I said about Traitors as being a new scenario and one to be, to be battlefield tested?
And who was he playing on this fine game?
Nav.
What's Nav playing with now? Used to be Orcs and Goblins.
Normally is. He's using Chaos this time.
Okay, very nice.
So in the first turn of the game, Nav orders a unit of Dragon Ogres.
As you do.
And they turn traitor.
Lovely job. Lovely job. 250 points down the toilet. Lovely.
Literally the most expensive unit in any of the armies turns traitor. And it's Janus is playing that. So Janus now has a unit of Dragon Ogres as well as his Skaven army.
In the opponents. And they're virtually unkillable when these things get running.
So the Dragon Ogres were on the right-hand side of Nav's army. So nothing to their right. He'd set them up in a way that they were in a line, so they can initiative to the left, back the initiative down into the straight into the flank of stuff. So they ended up doing so much work. These Dragon Ogres.
They're unstoppable. Dragon Ogres when they get running. I think it's 7 attacks a stand, don't they?
Monsters charging. Yeah, 5 basic. Yeah, 7. And it was like the first turn of the game. Now, in retrospect of that, and Nav was moaning a lot about the scenario, was
surely that, not, surely not. I mean, he must have enjoyed the first roll of the game across the game.
So he didn't need to order the Dragon Ogres by themselves. He could have easily ordered them in a brigade. When they would have at least had a 1 in 4 chance of turning traitor. Also, by positioning them flush, they've got line of sight to his own stuff. If they're on the extreme flank, they could actually deploy at a slight angle, so they can't see any of the rest of their army.
Play a game like this, do you?
Especially
I'm wrong, Paul. It's wrong. There's 6 base attack each.
Oh, okay, so actually it's 8 dice on the charge.
24 dice from one unit on the charge.
Yeah, in somebody's flank. So if he even set them up at the shallowest of angles, they wouldn't be able to see anything. So even if they did turn traitor, it's going to take 2 orders for them to engage.
How is he going to kill these things if they do touch? He's going to take so much of his energy to kill the stupid...
I don't think he really did. He did get a lot of charge. Nav's build was very high, very elite. He did get quite a few charges in, with Chaos Knights and stuff into Janus's main body, but it just got enveloped eventually because, they just literally ran out of steam, I think, and were trying to fight the entire Skaven army, which anything can chase. So as soon as it did lose a round of combat, it was getting they were getting pursued, and that's Skaven.
Dead on there.
Yeah, Skaven. Dead. Charging off into the middle of a Skaven army, it's unlikely to end up winning out, your way.
But only Janus.
But in this situation, what other choice did Nav have? He's got no range game. He's just gone massively down on points because the Dragon Ogres kill a lot, as well. It was
even if you assume that they only get their points worth or something like their points worth. You're a quarter of your army down.
Yep.
You're playing three quarters of an army, and like another quarter of that's probably characters. So you've got like a third of, you've lost of your fighting army.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I will say this is like thing, as much as Nav begrudged it, he walked into that trap, you know, by, you know, he could have done things about it, but didn't. Yeah. Right. Anyway. And of course it had to be against Janners. So we skip forward to the final. It's playing Paul Godbold, as is Orcs and Goblins. So it's like, the final, it's like they're going to be first and second, you know, regardless of results, because like I don't like the strength of schedule screwing the second, like the loser in the final out of a podium or whatever.
Yeah, it becomes like fifth normally.
Yeah, I don't like that. You know, like their game went to the line basically. So they got meeting engagement. They ended up with two L's of tables. Neither of them got an early opening, essentially, and they spent the early stuff of it reforming their lines. So then they were basically playing the game lengthways. You know, of the two builds, I mean, you wouldn't, like, Skaven are not good. You're never going to favour them. And this Orcs and Goblin list, there's eight Wolf Riders in it, whose main trick is they can't be chased. But Skaven can chase anything. So that ain't going to work. You know, so
nice.
So Paul's like main bit skew literally does nothing against this army, is this matchup. And it's like rock, paper, scissors. Eventually it goes on and on and on.
Well, past six turns, sir.
Oh, no, I didn't. We weren't tracking turns. You know, it's Defcon. You know, the venue, you know, I said it shuts at six. It comes to 6 o'clock, rings, and they still have got plenty of game left to go. Perhaps I should have been harsher on like getting those clocks started, but they had still got plenty of time and we're going back and forth. Eventually at about, and it was nice that we weren't kicked out, because I was wondering, well, what am I going to do? Like then, I mean, what is going to happen when we are kicked out? You know, and they're still going.
Give it to the third place person.
Yeah, this is the final. And, you know, they were easily the only, like, they were long the only table, only game left still going. It kept going. Eventually, Paul timed out.
What a miserable...
And he probably, I mean, from looking at it, he probably was going to win. But he timed out. That's that.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
And how much clock did Janus have left?
Oh, not much, but enough to like be unquestionable that it's like, oh, is this some unfortunate draw, really? No, Janus still had a little bit of time left. Not much, but a little. But yeah, they were both very close to break, but the position at the table from my outside looking in, when it hit, I would have said Paul was, the advantage was with Paul, but he timed out. Yeah.
It's a cruel mistress, fate.
Yeah, and there ends the story of Janna's winning again.
Again, I think that's like the fifth win out of six or something ludicrous.
So on the shield, he's not won it once.
Yeah, Paul won it. Paul.
No, he didn't. Not that shield's tournament. What that shield's been connected to.
Who was the other fella that won then?
Stuart Bliving.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's got the dates. It's got the dates on.
I think he had Vampire Chaos or something.
But you're right. And Paul has won a tournament that Janus has been in at the London GT.
Yeah.
But you know, it used to be called, I guess I was calling it the Bunker War Master Shield. Though I'm going to move more to a name for that tournament. Like for each time, you know, like, you know, and I'll talk.
Just leave the shield with Janus now.
He brought it and he take it home again. You know, puts his name on it again.
What's the point? He didn't put his name on it for last year, probably.
He did, but it's now
just with the pen. Just
no, just it's going back on him again. And fair play. I mean, like, he's done what I could never do. I never did.
Yeah, he's won with five different armies as well. Just out of interest.
Yeah, it's like. He's the goat.
He's the GOAT, but he only lost one game last year as Wood Elves.
Yeah. But I say
only one.
Yeah.
Only one game.
Yeah, but he picked up three wins here with Skaven. You know, I mean, no matter how you like, oh, this or that or stories or whatever, like, oh, what about? But it was very lucky there, whatever. He still won. Still won.
What about him? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would never have built that Skaven list.
It's so different. I mean, there's no Storm Vermin for a start. Like the thing we like, that's a 1+. You always take the Storm Vermin. There's no Storm Vermin.
I fixate on the discount. You get 5 points for Halberdiers. I'd just have millions of them or something. I don't know what it would be, but it certainly wouldn't be that list.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. I mean, to the listeners, I mean, it's cool about the game system. Like, so what we have here is three armies. None of them are considered overpowered. The only thing across all three is the fact that they're all rocking a Scroll of Dispelling. Yeah, that's it. That's the only and that's the only thing that connects them all. And they are all different builds than me, you and I would think up, really. Like, as in, I like the ogres. Like, for example, oh, what's a competitive ogre list? Well, I wouldn't have come out with this one, you know, as a thing. Yeah.
I'm not sure I can pull up this. Anyway, let's see if we get. Well, I'm not sure I can pull up this again.
But it's cool. It's cool for the game system. Is that, well, High Elves didn't win it. Dark Elves didn't win it.
Well, was anybody playing them?
Well, somebody was playing Dark Elves, yeah.
Dark Elves are a different kettle of fish. You need a lot of luck to win with Dark Elves.
More. I mean, the traitor scenario for them is particularly fun.
Well, they still have to take their penalty and they lose them.
Yeah, that's an army rule. Yes, so they would, yeah.
Awesome.
So there we go. So onwards and upwards. I'm going to run another one. I'm waiting on Jim to tell me he's free the particular date, because I want to make sure that Chris, Janice and Jim, being committee members, are available if possible. And at the moment, that's looking to be the 13th of September.
Week before my big birthday, big 50th this year.
Are you considered safe enough to be out of the house?
I don't know what I'm going to do for my 50th.
No. Like,
even on the window.
No, but are you considered safe enough to leave the house on the 13th of September?
Who knows? I couldn't even tell you the 13th of August, sir. We'll wait and see.
Well, okay.
Wait and see. So anyway, is that all we got for tonight? Because it's getting quite...
Well, that's the event. So like, basically, I was pretty happy with how it ran. I'm going to make a few amendments, some grammatical, some little rules changes to my little scenario pack. And that nobody did anything with the Regiments of Renown. Like, so I'll delete that out of don't need to worry about that, because nobody took any of the options. So forget it. You know, like, it doesn't need to be in there. And also Nippon, like, they're certainly not overpowered. You know,
you can't say that yet. Janet Christopher didn't use them.
Christopher Orr came, like, got the wooden spoon. Yeah, with Nippon.
I'd have to see his build.
Yeah, I don't think we can say that they're too good. But yeah,
you can't read too much into one person playing three games.
No, I'm just saying, it's just like, you know, they've started like the one.
We need to now worry about Skaven being overpowered because they've won multiple tournaments this year. Multiple.
Well, there you go. So, like, on the committee, there's me shooting for the moon, asking for rat swarms to not count to break. Well, it's never going to have traction now, is it? Because they've won.
Well, it's never having traction anyway, was it? It's a mentalist idea.
Yeah, no, it was a great idea. Like, but now it's like, oh, well.
Well, it just shows you what happens if you
definitely free, forget it. Like,
if you make anything free, people are going to go nuts on it. Look, we've made a tiny amendment to, like, cavalry in an optional rule, and they've gone from maybe taking one or two units to building your army around them.
A skew build, Barry.
Yeah, the army's built around 8 units of Wolf Riders.
That's not the same as saying you can't. That's not saying every Orc and Goblin player will have 8 units.
I didn't say that. I've said you've gone from something that had fringe playability to something that people consider building an army around.
Well, there you go. But that's interesting, isn't it?
I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that you have to be careful where you tread, and things like making swarms not count for break is insanity, sir.
Well, it's not going to happen, is it?
And it's like, certainly not going to happen.
You know, it's like, you screwed that one for me. Yeah, like your
cheapest unit in the game.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. But never mind. Yeah, like, that would have played... Not only would that have made the army better, it would have played more to their fluff, but never mind.
You just got to get better, Paul, with Skaven.
I was like, when I looked at this army list, I was like, that's trash. You know, like, that's not going to win. Like, I think we're going to, you know, Janus won't read the scenario. Like, I think we're going to, like, he's not going to win this. He's not come here to win. Janus, like, no.
He was supposed to be using goblins. I knew.
So he's using goblins next time.
That's what he says every time, fella, until the next time. And then it was supposed to be using goblins, it was wood elves. And then now it's Skaven. But fair play to him winning with Skaven. Good on him. Well done.
Henry. Honestly, I was, you know, mask off to the man. You know, like, I was just like, well, shit.
Right, okay. We're going to be back on Saturday talking to Chris. This one will come out tomorrow. Jesus, that's tomorrow, Friday. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't be out tomorrow. There'll be another one on Saturday.
Yeah, so the next event, unless I can think up a better name, is going to be called War Master of the Eternal War.
There is only war.
There is the Eternal War, yeah.
There's only war.
Right, it's a bit of a 40K title, but I quite like it as a title.
Okay, well, steal away, sir.
Yep.
Steal away. So that was... Episode 146 on it with Paul and Matt, talking about the End Times event.
Yep.
We'll speak again soon.
Yep.
See you later. Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Yeah.
From the amazing Cromedy Forge, the third Kickstarter. Pictish Woodlanders, available until June 25th on Kickstarter.